Captain's log, stardate 50537.2. Routine scans of an uninhabited star system have revealed the presence of gallicite, a very rare substance on the fourth planet.
If these readings are right, we're looking at a yield of nearly a kiloton. That would be enough gallicite to completely refit the warp coils.
They sure could use it, with all the damage they've taken the past 2 years.
Is there anyone in the area who might consider this their property?
There are indications that a colony once existed on the planet's surface. However, it appears to be long abandoned.
All right, let's stake a claim. I'll leave this in your hands, B'Elanna. Use whatever resources and personnel you need. You might want to talk to Mr. Neenix. I believe he spent some time working in a mining colony.
Aye, Captain. These tunnels are clearly artificial. Someone else must have been interested in digging up this gallicite.
Well, that should make it easier to access the deposits.
True, but we have to be careful. There's been a lot of seismic activity down there. Look, these tunnels are completely collapsed. We should bring Tom Paris on the away team. He's had quite a lot of rock climbing experience.
I've spent several summers exploring the Osana Caverns, which involves some quite treacherous climbing.
Great, you two can be our safety experts.
Have we completed our preparations to your satisfaction?
We're done here, yes.
Let me take this opportunity to declare Kunant Solik my desire to become your mate.
What?
In human terms, I am proposing marriage. Do you accept?
This is a little sudden, isn't it? Besides, I thought that Vulcan marriages were arranged. Don't you already have somebody back home?
She has sufficient reason to consider me lost and has most likely chosen another mate. It's appropriate for me to do the same.
And you've chosen me?
I've come to greatly admire not only your impressive technical skills, but also your bravery and sense of moral duty. All excellent qualities in a prospective mate.
But you're Vulcan. I am half Klingon. I really can't imagine.
Perhaps we are not an obvious match. However, our differences would complement each other. You've often expressed frustration with your Klingon temper. My mental discipline would help you control it. Furthermore, I feel that...
Please, I see that you've given this a lot of logical thought, and I really am very flattered. But my answer is no. I'm sorry.
B'Elanna, you may wish to reconsider. Your choices for a mate are currently limited to 73 male crew members on this ship, some of whom are already unavailable.
I'll worry about my choices myself, thank you.
I should also remind you that many humanoid species are unable to withstand Klingon mating practices.
Okay, that's enough.
Whereas my superior Vulcan strength would make me a very suitable partner.
He grabs her head with both hands, staring maniacally at her face. Struggling to break his hold, B'Elanna finally pushes him away and punches him to the floor. She stares at him in bewildered anger. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Blood Fever. It explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas, its flat, oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet streaked with clouds turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun eclipsed by a satellite moon is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic, gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing. In sickbay, the doctor studies the sullen, blank face of the shamed Vulcan engineer.
Here are the results of his cortical scan.
So what's wrong with him?
in addition to a dislocated jaw, Ensign Vorek seems to be suffering from a neurochemical imbalance.
Meaning what?
I believe I should discuss that with the patient privately. You're going through the Ponfar, aren't you?
That's an extremely personal question, Doctor.
Yes, I'm aware that Vulcans prefer to keep their mating practices very much to themselves. There's almost nothing in the medical database beyond a few observations made by Starfleet doctors over the years. Your symptoms, the chemical imbalance and loss of emotional control, are consistent with those observations. Have you been eating and sleeping normally?
I knew there was something wrong. I was hoping it wasn't this.
I assume this is your first Ponfar? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's a normal biological function. I'll do what I can to help you through it, but I'll need a little more information.
We do not discuss it.
I'm afraid you'll have to. You have a severe imbalance in your brain chemistry. If it gets much worse, it could become life-threatening. Now, I need to know how Vulcans deal with this condition.
We go home. Every 7 years of our adult life, Vulcans experience an instinctual, irresistible urge to return to the home world and take a mate.
But in your case, being stranded halfway across the galaxy, that's impossible.
Yes.
So then logically you try to find a mate here. I assume that explains your behavior toward Lieutenant Torres.
I have always had great respect for B'Elanna. I hope she isn't too upset with me.
With Lieutenant Torres, upset is a relative term. In any case, we're going to have to try to find another way to treat your condition. Let's start with a microcellular scan.
No! I don't want medical treatment. I will resolve this myself.
How do you intend to do that?
There are certain meditative techniques. I will be fine if simply left alone. Please, allow me to return to my quarters. Confine me there if you wish, but allow me to resolve my situation privately.
Until I have a better idea of how to treat your condition, I'll release you to your quarters. You'll be under confinement and wearing a cortical monitor at all times.
The doctor places a spherical sensor below Vorak's left ear.
Thank you.
I'm concerned about Ensign Vorak's cortical readings. One returns to normal levels, then another one spikes. It's chaotic. As if the brain's regulatory system had simply shut down. I can't tell if he's making any progress with these meditations. I thought maybe you could suggest other possible treatments.
I cannot.
Is that because you don't know, or because you don't want to discuss it?
For both of those reasons, there is little help that I can offer. It is inappropriate for me to involve myself in Ensign Vorek's personal situation.
For such an intellectually enlightened race, Vulcans have a remarkably Victorian attitude about sex.
That is a very human judgment, Doctor.
Then here's a Vulcan one. I fail to see the logic in perpetuating ignorance about a basic biological function.
There is nothing logical about the Ponfar. It is a time when instinct and emotion dominate over reason. It cannot be analyzed by the rational mind, nor cured by conventional medicine. Anyone who has experienced it understands that it must simply be followed to its natural resolution.
Which is what, exactly?
There are three options that I am aware of. Taking a mate, which Ensign Vorek has already attempted. The ritual combat, which does not apply to his situation.
Combat?
An ancient tradition of fighting for one's mate, which, as I've said, is not relevant here. The third alternative is the intensive meditation he has chosen to try.
Isn't there anything we can do to help him with that?
I believe that any interference would be unwelcome and counterproductive. You must allow him to face this challenge privately. If he possesses enough discipline to reach a point of psychological resolution, then his chemical imbalance should correct itself.
The Vulcan brain never ceases to amaze me. Thank you, Lieutenant. You've been a great help.
With a look of disappointment, the doctor turns to his console and Tuvok leaves. B'Elanna strides briskly into the transporter room.
You two are awfully prompt.
Impressed?
Oh, it'll take a little more work than that to impress me, Lieutenant.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Let me show you our target area.
Shouldn't we wait for Ensign Vorek?
He's not coming. This seems to be the most accessible vein of Gallicite. We'll beam to the surface, then go down through this passageway until it dead ends in this chamber. Then we'll descend almost 50 meters, almost straight down. Do you see any problem with that, Tom?
Well, as long as we go slow and easy, we'll be fine.
Good. You're all set, Neelix?
I've got a laser drill, sample cases, geospectral analysis
case. In other words, you're ready. Let's go.
Tom and Neelix exchange bemused looks before transporting to the planet's surface.
This way.
Look over here. This must have been the colony.
Not more than 50 or 60 years ago. Hardly enough time for these structures to decay so badly.
They must have suffered some kind of disaster. Maybe an earthquake.
Well, we'll send down an archaeological team later on. Right now, we've got our own work to do.
Are we in a rush?
I just don't see any point in wasting time. Unless, of course, you want to stall to put off demonstrating your climbing expertise.
Grab your gear. Try to keep up.
B'Elanna leads the team climbing down a rope into a set of underground tunnels. Tom is right behind her, followed by Neelix.
No matter how real a holodeck program may seem, it just doesn't get your heart pumping like a genuine physical challenge. It's exhilarating.
B'Elanna stands on the edge of a round-mouthed chasm.
If you're looking for exhilaration...
It didn't look quite so steep on the sensor map, did it?
We're prepared for this. We can handle it. Let's go.
All this Starfleet technology almost takes the fun out of it.
You mean the fun of wondering whether your anchor will hold while you're dangling over a cliff? I think I'll pass. See you below.
Tom tugs on his rope, ensuring the Piéton is fully embedded, and keeping his feet against the rock, he inches down into the wide hole.
You go first, I'll follow you.
Neelix lobs the bundle of rope he holds into the hole, and turning his back to the darkness, begins his descent. B'Elanna quickly follows, leaning out over the hole, her feet flat against the rock wall. Tom's feet suddenly slip.
Watch your footing!
You're right. My heart is pumping faster.
Wait till we climb back up with a pack full of Gallicite.
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
No! Are you hurt?
You! You almost got us both killed!
I'm sorry! I don't know what happened!
Careful! Careful, you might have broken it.
You had no business rigging safety equipment, or you had no idea what you were doing!
Calm down! This wasn't Neelix's fault. I saw him drive the Piéton and it was solid. Must have malfunctioned. But you are hurt.
I'm fine. No thanks for you two. I would have been better coming down here alone.
Don't you think you're overreacting a little bit?
Just drag him to the ship. I'll get the Gallicite myself.
We can't leave you down here alone.
He's right. Let's contact the ship.
You get your hands off of me.
B'Elanna! What is wrong with you?
Nothing. I'm in charge of this mission. I'll finish it.
Wait!
Oh, go ahead, Tom. I'll be all right here.
The last thing we need is for all three of us to split up. Paris to Voyager. We've got problems down here. I haven't been able to contact her. She's either out of communications range or just not responding.
Where is she now?
The last location I can verify is about 10 meters below us. I tried to stop her from leaving, Captain, but she got very hostile and... bit me.
She bit you?
And she seemed to be enjoying it in a Klingon kind of way. She's really not herself.
Janeway turns quizzically to Tuvok, who stares thoughtfully back. The captain rises suddenly as Tuvok looks almost guiltily away.
Any luck in getting a transporter lock on them?
No, they're too far beneath the surface.
Tom, I'm sending an away team down to you. We'll get Neelix out of there, then go after B'Elanna. Tuvok, you're with Chakotay.
Captain,
I'd like to request a short delay. I may have an explanation for Lieutenant Torres' behavior.
Go away! I said, go away! I'm sorry, sir.
No. I must apologize for the intrusion. Particularly at this time.
Then you know.
Yes. I regret that I must ask you some uncomfortable questions regarding Lieutenant Torres.
Yes, sir.
It is important for me to know specifically what happened between the two of you. Was there any physical contact?
Yes.
Please describe your actions.
It's hard to remember. I was acting irrationally. I believe I approached her. I touched her face. I meant to be gentle, but she tried to move away, and then I was holding her more tightly, both hands on her face like this. It felt very important not to let go. I'm not certain why.
I believe you were initiating a telepathic mating bond.
I didn't know it could happen that way. I wanted to bond with her, that much I remember clearly.
Apparently you succeeded. Lieutenant Torres has been displaying unusual behavior, very much like the early stages of Ponfar.
How is that possible? She's not Vulcan.
There have been instances of Vulcans mating with members of other races.
But she rejected me forcefully.
Even a brief moment of bonding may have been enough to disrupt her self-control, as the Ponfar does in us. In a half-Klingon, the effects may be even more extreme.
I have to go to her.
You cannot. Lieutenant Torres is out of contact on the planet.
Find her. B'Elanna needs me, and I need her.
It is a far more sensible strategy to get her safely back to Voyager, and then decide on the proper resolution.
The resolution must be that we become mates. It is only logical.
Lieutenant Torres has never been a great follower of logic.
You think she'll reject me again?
It might be wise to continue your meditative efforts.
I'll do my best, sir.
It is difficult to estimate how soon her condition will become life-threatening.
Life-threatening? She could die from this?
Yes.
And you've gone through it every 7 years of your adult life?
You only need to be concerned with Lieutenant Torres' situation.
Right. Well, it looks like finding her won't be easy. Scanning range is limited to about 20 meters, and even that's not too reliable.
You said she was going after the Galasite, so we'll do the same and hope it leads us to her.
I'm ready to go, Commander.
Chakotay quickly crosses to where Neelix is lying. He tugs sharply on a rope, signaling for Neelix to be raised, and the injured Talaxian is slowly lifted out of the hole. Chakotay, Tuvok, and Paris quickly don the rest of their equipment and check their torches as they watch Neelix's body rise up into the darkness.
Let's go.
Deeper underground, B'Elanna follows a path picked out by her torchlight into the bowels of the planet. Slipping down a short dip, B'Elanna looks up in amazement. Water drips from the ceiling. Green moss covers part of the rock, illuminated by a strange light. Behind another boulder, a thin tube of light disappears into the rock, and B'Elanna quickly scans the wall with her tricorder. Suddenly, she starts to pull rocks from the wall. She stares in disbelief at an uncovered power unit throbbing in the cavity. B'Elanna suddenly turns, grabbing a rock as a weapon.
B'Elanna!
Tom! Come here, you've got to see this.
How are you feeling, Lieutenant?
Fine. This is an active power system. It must have been built by the colonists.
We'll send somebody down here to study it more closely. Right now, we've got to get you back to the ship.
No, no, this is my discovery. It's my mission. You don't understand. This is the source of the Gallicite readings. These conduits are covered with Gallicite plating. It's exactly what we need, and I found it.
Yes, Lieutenant. You've succeeded in your mission. Now you must tend to yourself. You're experiencing a condition known as Ponfar.
Pon what?
Your emotional balance has been disrupted. You may not be in control of your more aggressive instincts.
I lost my temper for a minute. That's all. Why are you all staring at me like that?
Please, come back with us to the ship.
Just leave me alone.
Tuvok takes a step back in alarm as the rocks behind B'Elanna seem to come alive. They stare in surprise as three figures come out of the walls, weapons raised.
Who are you? What do you want?
My name is Chakotay. I assure you we have no hostile intent.
She does.
B'Elanna, please.
She is suffering from a chemical imbalance, which is affecting her behavior.
An imbalance? Is it contagious?
No. However, she does need our assistance.
We'd be glad to take her and leave your territory.
Not before you tell me why you came here.
We only came to find some Gallicite. We thought this planet was uninhabited.
Then why are you carrying weapons?
It's standard procedure for any mission into unfamiliar territory.
Let me see one.
The stranger holds out his hand and Chakotay slowly hands him the phaser. B'Elanna starts forward in alarm, but Tuvok holds her back. The stranger looks at the phaser, turning it in his hand, pointing it at Tom.
And what is that? Some sort of scanning device?
Yes, it's called a tricorder.
But it didn't detect any life forms here?
No, it didn't.
He slowly hands the phaser back to Chakotay.
What's that?
Seismic alert. That wall is unstable. Be careful.
As they stand back, one of the strangers reaches for B'Elanna to move her to safety, but she turns on him.
Watch out!
Tuvok tries to fire, but his phaser is useless. He lowers his arm as a weapon is raised to his head.
B'Elanna, don't! B'Elanna!
B'Elanna wrestles the stranger's rifle out of his grasp and beats him to the floor. He falls at her feet unconscious. As she looks around, she realizes that the walls have caved in around her, and looking back at the stranger, her eyes open wide in surprise. He is gone. The cavern has been cut in half by the rockfall. Tom rises slowly from the ground, dusting himself off as B'Elanna searches for the stranger.
There must be a hidden door, some kind of a passageway.
I'm not picking up anything like that. Or any life signs.
Then you're using it wrong.
Yeah, that must be it. Or else these aliens are generating some kind of interference so we can't detect them. We have to get out of here before they come back.
We can't leave Chakotay and Tuvok.
If you have any ideas how to find them, I'm listening. We have to get back to the ship and get some help. For them and for you.
Why does everybody keep saying there's something wrong with me?
I'll try to explain it to you. But we've got to get moving.
There. Your serotonin levels are stabilized for the moment. But I'm concerned about these fluctuations. It's becoming more difficult to compensate.
I will increase my efforts. Control them, Doctor.
I'd like you to consider an alternative treatment I've been developing.
No, I will deal with this myself.
Ensign, your life is at risk.
You don't understand how well a Vulcan copes with this experience is a test of his character. I've already humiliated myself and Lieutenant Tuvok by allowing a private matter to become so public.
Give yourself a little credit. You're doing the best you can under unusually difficult circumstances. If you were back on Vulcan, you'd have your family and friends there to help you.
I shouldn't need any help.
I know that self-sufficiency is very important to a Vulcan, but there is nothing shameful in getting a little guidance every once in a while. I'd like you to consider my alternative, and then you can decide whether or not to try it.
Ensign? I don't understand the purpose of coming here.
Trust me, Ensign Borek, I'd like you to meet Tepera.
Surely you're not suggesting that she become my mate.
Well, I wouldn't recommend a lifetime commitment, but she might be able to help you with your immediate problem.
She's a hologram. She isn't real.
Then I assume you have the same low regard for me.
You're a skilled physician, Doctor, but let me point out the limitations to your own experience with physical matters.
I believe we're discussing your sexual duties at the moment, Ensign. And this holographic mate is the best solution I can think of.
She won't be the same as a real mate.
The difference is all in your mind. Which, if I've understood you and Mr. Tuvok correctly, is where the Ponfar must ultimately be resolved. Let your mind convince your body that she is exactly what you need her to be. Think of this as an advanced self-healing technique. It will still require considerable mental discipline on your part.
There's a certain logic to your suggestion, Doctor. I will try.
Good. Well, then I'll leave the two of you alone.
Vorak stares at his holographic mate, consumed by the Ponfar, but uncertain and confused.
Tuvok must be wrong about this Ponfar business. It doesn't make any sense.
It does explain how you've been acting.
I don't see what's so strange.
How about starting a fight with a group of armed aliens? Shouting at Neelix? Giving me this? If I remember my Klingon customs, biting someone on the face means...
I know what it means. All right. So maybe I do feel something, some kind of instinct. What am I supposed to do about it?
When we get back to the ship, the doctor should be able to help. Or there's always Vorek.
I am not helping that Vulcan Patak. The idea of bonding with him, it's ludicrous. What's this?
Tremor must have shaken the rocks loose.
Well, they're in the way.
Hold it! We don't know how stable this tunnel is. An energy blast might bring the rest of it down on our heads.
Let go!
No. I think I should keep this.
Never pick a fight with a Klingon.
I'm not gonna fight with you, B'Elanna.
If we don't break your arm, you should be.
B'Elanna, stop it! This isn't about the gun. This is about sex. But that's not going to happen right now.
I think it is. See, I've picked up your scent, Tom. I've tasted your blood.
No. No. I'm your friend. And I have to watch out for you when your judgment's been impaired. If you let these instincts take over now, you'll hate yourself. And me too, for taking advantage of you. I won't do that.
Maybe we should continue separately.
No.
You don't know how strong, how hard it is to fight this urge.
Are you telling me that I'm impossible to resist?
I wouldn't go that far.
Good.
I want to know about the vessel which brought you here. Your propulsion systems, weapons, sensors, everything. You have an artificial implant in your arm.
Yes, it was necessary to replace the elbow joint after I was injured in a combat simulation.
I also want to know about your medical technology, scientific advances, artificial intelligence.
I'd be glad to tell you all about my people and learn about yours. There's no need to hold us here for interrogation.
You should expect no better treatment after invading Sakari territory.
As I said, We didn't know there was anyone down here.
Yes, so you've said.
Your people have clearly made every effort to avoid detection by outsiders. Is it so difficult to believe that those measures were effective in our case?
If they had been fully effective, you wouldn't have found anything interesting enough to bring you here.
That's something we can help you with.
What?
We can show you how we detected the Gallicite, so you can disguise it better. We can also help you eliminate the last traces of the ruins on the surface, so no one else will be curious about them.
You've seen the ruins?
Yes. I assume the Sicarii once lived there.
Long ago, before I was born.
What happened?
My people never even knew who the invaders were or why they attacked. It was all over in less than an hour. Some of the colonists were fortunate enough to escape into the mines. We've lived here ever since, where it's safe. If the invaders ever learned of our existence here, they might return.
I can certainly understand your caution, but let us demonstrate our good faith by helping you protect yourselves. Then we'll go and never bother you again.
Agreed. But you will be supervised at all times.
We're almost to the next passageway. Can you make it?
Not much choice.
Find a way out.
We should use that weapon. It's worth the risk now.
Well, I might agree with you if I still had it. It's buried somewhere under all that.
What?
Sorry. Try to stay calm. I know it's hard.
You don't know anything. I feel like I'm crawling out of my skin. I need to do something. I can't take this.
She falls onto Tom, pinning him to the ground. They struggle briefly until he rolls on top of her and slowly stands up, his torch shining on her lust-filled face.
You've never been hard to get, Tom.
Well, I'm making an exception. I can't let you do this.
Oh, but you wish you could. All those invitations to dinner. And on the holodeck, the way you would stare at me when you thought I wasn't looking. And get jealous when I'm with someone else. You can't tell me you're not interested in me.
You're right. I can't.
Don't push me away.
Oh, believe me, I'd like to. But I know this isn't really you. You've made it clear that you're not interested. And I have to accept that's how you feel, even now.
No. I was just afraid to admit it. You see, I've wanted this for so long. Just let it happen.
Someday you'll say that to me and mean it.
You'd let me go insane rather than help me.
You know that's not true.
You just stay away from me.
Tom's eyes are filled with unbearable pity as he watches B'Elanna cower in the light from his torch. On Voyager, the Doctor walks cautiously into the holosuite where he had left Vorak in idyllic tropical surroundings in the company of his holographic mate. He finds Vorak lounging peacefully under a tree.
You called, Ensign? Is there a problem?
Not at all.
You seem much improved.
Yes. Your holodeck therapy was very effective. I must compliment you on an innovative solution.
I'm pleased to hear that. This could be a viable alternative for spacefaring Vulcans. When we get back, I'm sure Starfleet Medical will... Never hear about your personal experiences from me.
Thank you, Doctor. May I return to duty?
Soon enough, Ensign. I'll need to run a few more cortical scans. Mr. Vorek's biochemical readings are stabilizing. They're not back to normal yet, but I believe he's gotten through the worst of it. I'm ready to release him from sickbay.
Good work, Doctor. Will this treatment help Alana as well?
I don't see why not.
As soon as the away team gets back, I'll send her straight to you.
I'll get to work designing the half-Klingon version of the program. There's a copious amount of information in the cultural database about their mating practices. Did you know that fracturing a clavicle on the wedding night is actually considered a blessing on the marriage?
As a matter of fact, I didn't.
I'm planning to do a comparative study of all these mating rituals. It really is fascinating. From a sociobiological point of view.
I'm sure B'Elanna will appreciate your efforts, Doctor.
Janeway gives him a quizzical, knowing look and leaves sickbay. On the planet, Tom tries to clear rocks from the opening when he hears B'Elanna's groans and rushes to her.
Where are we?
Still stuck in the cave, I'm afraid.
The caves? The Gallicite, where's my tricorder?
No, we're not looking for the Gallicite anymore. We're trying to get back to the ship, remember?
B'Elanna needs help. We've got to get her out of here.
Having cleared the passageway, Chakotay leads them out into the bright sunlight on the planet's surface. Shielding his eyes from the glare, he taps his communications badge.
Chakotay to Voyager. Please respond. Still nothing.
What's the matter? Why aren't they answering?
There must be some kind of communications problem. I'm sure they'll clear it up soon.
It may not be soon enough. I am concerned about the rapid progression of her symptoms. You must help her now, Mr. Paris. If she does not resolve the Ponfar, she will die.
As Tuvok and Chakotay leave them in peace, Tom crosses to B'Elanna, who is crouched against the wall. Nervously, he kneels before her.
B'Elanna, I know this is a pretty bizarre situation. Probably not what either one of us had in mind. But it's too late to worry about that now.
Tom.
What?
Be quiet.
She leads him into the trees.
So, this is the part where you throw heavy objects at me?
Maybe later.
I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Well, what are you doing?
Enjoying myself?
Then show it.
You are my mate, not his.
What are you doing here?
I come to claim you, to fulfill our bond, and if necessary, to face my rival, Lieutenant Tuvok!
Ensign?
Sir, I declare Kuna Khalife.
The ritual challenge. He intends to fight to win his mate.
If you want to fight, you've got one.
Hold on, Tom. There's not going to be any challenge. Are you responsible for the ship being out of contact?
It was necessary to disable the communications, transporters, and shuttles. No one will keep me from my mate.
I am not your mate!
We will soon decide that.
If anyone is going to smash your arrogant little face, then I will! I take your challenge myself!
She has the right to choose her own defender, even herself.
Just hold on. Neither of you are thinking straight right now.
They are following their instincts, and I suggest we allow them to do so.
You mean let them fight?
It is logical. Both must resolve their Ponfar before it kills them. We cannot wait to hear from Voyager.
They'll tear each other to pieces!
The risk of injury seems preferable to the certainty of dying from a chemical imbalance. Commander, I see no alternative but to follow Vulcan tradition.
All right.
Begin.
Immediately, Vorak and B'Elanna raise their hands and crouch slightly. They circle each other warily, watching for signs of fear and weakness. Borak lunges first, swinging his fists viciously at Balana's head. She ducks and spins out of the way. In his fist on the next lunge, she turns into him and throws him over her shoulder to the floor. Balana picks up a branch and swings wildly at him, but he catches hold of it and wrestles her to the floor. The others watch with concern as he leaps at Balana, who rolls quickly to her left and brings her elbow down heavily on his spine. Borak is tiring. Balana's blows find their mark, and with one fierce lunge, Borak's fist crashes into her face. He collapses to the floor, but Balana remains standing. Fearful, angry, and dazed, she stumbles into Tom's arms, watching Borak, who is unable to stand up.
It's over, isn't it?
The blood fever has been purged. They will both recover.
Captain's log, stardate 50541.6. We're following through with Chakotay's offer to help the Sicarii improve their camouflage, and they've agreed to supply us with a generous quantity of galasite.
Tom enters a turbolift and stops suddenly. Balana looks up at him, and they eye each other nervously before Tom enters.
Deck 2. So, looks like you're feeling better. You back on duty?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine. Thanks. The refit is going well. We should have new warp coils by the end of the week.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Computer, halt turbo lift. Look, this is ridiculous. We are going to be together on this ship for a long time.
You're right. We have to pretend that the whole mission didn't happen.
But something did happen, Balana.
Look, Tom, I really appreciate what you did, what you were willing to do for me. But as far as I'm concerned, I was under the influence of some weird Vulcan chemical imbalance. And whatever I did, whatever I said, it wasn't me.
Yeah, I know. You're afraid that your big, scary Klingon side might have been showing. Well, I saw it up close. And you know, it wasn't so terrible. In fact, I wouldn't mind seeing it again someday. Computer, resume.
Careful what you wish for, Lieutenant.
Your call sounded urgent.
I think there's something you should see, Captain. We found this as we were clearing away the ruins. Undoubtedly, one of the invaders who destroyed this colony.
The Borg.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.